Good morning, Your Honors. Frank Cerro for myself and Mr. Losser. As you know, this is a sanctions case.
Do you wish to reserve any time?
I think I'll reserve a couple of minutes if I can.
2 minutes? All right, that's fine.
So I submit to Your Honors, what is wrong? Let me put it this way. The result below hinged mainly on the Serrato versus the San Francisco Community College District case. What is wrong with my arguing to the district court below that there was a different entity in this case? Here we sued the City College of San Francisco because that was my client's employer, printed on his pay stub. That may be a different entity from the San Francisco Community College District.
It is a different entity, but not a different entity in type. And so, that case clearly holds that insofar as that type of entity, you're pretty much dead in the water. Better argument for you would have been that under Section 301 of the LMRA, which is the other half of the basis for the sanction, that there is no case on that particular issue. That might have been a better argument.
Well, and also, what about the fact that in the intervening 15 years since Serrato was decided, the San Francisco Community College District or the City College of San Francisco completely changed its character and became much more autonomous? They are pulling away from becoming a political subdivision of the state of California. They're issuing almost $1 billion worth of bonds. They have all these for-profit activities. They hold real estate in their own name.
But the basis for their creation is still under the California Constitution.
But Your Honor, if they're not following the law, it's fine to say, according to the law, they are dependent upon the state. But what if they don't act that way? We have to look at the reality of it. And what we found out, without the benefit of any discovery, was that they're funding themselves. They own property, very lucrative property in San Francisco at 33 Gough Street and at the San Francisco Airport. They're leasing out their gym to another entity and making money that way. They're making money with their restaurants. They're making money with their bookstores. They're making money leasing their facilities. They're no longer the...
Well, those aren't the criteria that are really focused on by the seminal case, which is NLRB versus National Gas Utility, is it? And the two things that they're focusing on, the Supreme Court says you focus on, is whether or not the entity was created directly by the state, which clearly it was here, and second, whether or not it's administered by individuals who are responsible to the public officials or to the general electorate.
Okay. Your Honor, even focusing upon that particular case, which is National Labor Relations Board versus Natural Gas, 402 U.S. 600, reasonable minds can differ over whether the defendant was autonomous or not. The dissent in that case argues that the defendant was autonomous and was not a political subdivision. The majority ruled in that case, but a reasonable mind, Mr. Justice Stewart dissenting, argued forcefully that it was autonomous. And that's what I was trying to do in this case, which is say, look, the entity has changed in 15 years. It's fine to point to these laws and say that under the law they're supposed to be a political subdivision of the state, but what if in reality they don't act that way? You should not be limited by the words of the law. If the reality is they're funding themselves, it's completely wrong to say they get complete funding from the state when they issued almost $1 billion with a B, $1 billion of bonds to fund themselves. And they're running all these for-profit activities. They hold all this real estate in their own name. They're acting like they are their own entity. And then my other argument was, look where Serrato came from. Serrato came from Mitchell. And Mitchell says there are four factors to determine whether an entity is a political subdivision of the state, and two of the factors here show that it is not. It does not get complete state funding, and it also holds property in its own name. And the district court below didn't even look at any of the facts. Mount Healthy says you're supposed to do a detailed factual analysis.
Anything further?
No, I think I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
That's fine. May it please the Court, Genevieve Ng for San Francisco Community College District. Whether you call it City College or the San Francisco Community College District, it is the only community college in San Francisco, and it is one of 110 community colleges in a statewide system known as the California Community Colleges. I think it's telling that Mr. Cerro asserts that the district court erred in not overturning Mitchell and Serrato, and this is the perfect venue for him to do so. If he believes that a detailed analysis should be undertaken as to whether or not these community colleges have transformed themselves in the last 15 years, that issue should have been raised on appeal. But the holding in Mitchell and Serrato are very clear. Community colleges in this state are entitled to immunity under the 11th Amendment. Moreover, the finding that the community college is a political subdivision under the National Labor Relations Act is very clear. Under the two-pronged test in Hawkins, community college fits both of those prongs. The Board of Trustees is elected by the general public, and it's responsible to the general public. These colleges were created as part of the state's constitution, and they're governed by the state's education code. These community colleges are not a patchwork of independent schools found throughout the state. These are a part of one system, and like the California State Universities or the University of California schools, a finding that one school is immune under the 11th Amendment is a finding that all schools are immune under the 11th Amendment. Judge Conte did not abuse his discretion in ordering sanctions here. There is no basis for which to have filed the suit in federal court in the first place.
So what's his remedy, state court?
State court, or there's the Public Employment Relations Board, which governs public sector employers in the which governs employee-employer relations in the state of California.
What powers do they have?
PERB has the same remedial powers to reinstate individual, award back pay for lost compensation as a result of retaliatory termination, and he has an avenue in state court as well.
Okay. Anything else?
Just believe that Mr. Cerro was given due process. He was provided notice that the district was going to sanctions, and we gave Mr. Cerro an opportunity to respond not only to our position, but with information of his financial circumstances, and the court.
Right. You complied with the safe harbor provisions of
Correct.
Rule 11. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Sure, the author says that initial case lists four factors for determining whether it's a state entity, and that two of those factors would indicate it was not.
Well, that Mr. Lauser and Mr. Cerro incorrect. The City College receives over 90% of its general operating budget from state funds. Less than 1% of its operating budget comes from leasing property for the use of others, and approximately 8 to 9% of the rest of its operating budget comes from local sources such as sales tax. The college does not operate any for-profit business. And similar to California state schools or the UC schools, it does hold property in its own name. But that has not changed that analysis for these other dependent arms of the state.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, for the first time this morning, I have heard that the Community College District now admits that it does not get 100% of its funding from the state. Their attorney just admitted.
Did say that 90% of it was.
Yes, but even in Mount Healthy, where the school got all of its funding from the state, the school also held property in its own name, and in Mount Healthy, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that it was not a political subdivision. I'm just
interpreting Ohio law.
That is correct, but I'm pointing out that City College is not as dependent upon the state as the City College argued below. They are more autonomous, and we were able to find just through some public websites how they got a lot of their funding outside of the state and how they own property in their own name. In Mount Healthy, again, Ohio law, but in Mount Healthy, the U.S. Supreme Court said it was important to note that the school held property in its own name. And in San Francisco, where property values are so high, that is a big indication that City College has some kind of independent identity. Now, Serrato and Mitchell were not, they're not, and what I'm trying to say is, I'm not here to say you should overrule Serrato and Mitchell. In fact, in my opening brief, I said this is not the occasion to do that. But I think that a good advocate can point out to the district court why Serrato should not apply, and why, if you follow Mitchell, you can come to the conclusion that the City College is not a political subdivision of the state. The other way that the district court made a mistake below was in not considering lesser sanctions. There's a long note, along with Rule 11 when it was passed, saying the district court must consider lesser sanctions. And the district court, if you read its opinion, never once considered any lesser sanctions. And there's also case law that says that Rule 11 is not supposed to be converted into a fee-shifting statute. It's supposed to be just sufficient to deter any perceived misconduct. I'm having a hard time seeing that I argued something wrong, because the facts of Serrato had changed. See, Serrato just followed Mitchell, and without any analysis said, if we have a community college district, it's got to be a political subdivision of the state. That was Serrato 15 years ago. But in the intervening time, City College changed its nature. And I think it's just reasonable advocacy to point out to the district court, this is no longer the same entity that Serrato considered 15 years ago. Things have changed. Facts have changed. What is wrong with arguing that and pointing that out to the court? So I will submit.
Okay.
One of the problems you've got is that you're proceeding in the face of two Ninth Circuit cases which are pretty much diametrically opposed to what you're arguing.
That's correct, but pointing out, if you look at Mitchell, two of the four factors would lead you to conclude that City College is not a political subdivision of the state. Mitchell didn't say, just look at the laws that set forth the duties and obligations of the community college district. Mitchell said, look at state funding, look at owning of property, look at all these different factors. And the district court below never looked at those factors. I got the impression it never even wanted to consider those factors. But I think it's reasonable advocacy to say two out of the four factors indicate that it's not a political subdivision and that we do belong here in federal court. Serrato, I'm saying the facts changed. Back in 1994, perhaps City College was completely subsumed by the state of California. But in those 15 years, especially in the last 5 years, they issued almost $1 billion worth of bonds to fund themselves. And now they own property near San Francisco Airport and at 33 Gough Street near downtown San Francisco, very lucrative properties to make them more autonomous. I think reasonable minds can differ on these points. I don't think it's as shut and closed as it appeared to the district court.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your arguments. The matter will be submitted.